Welcome to Be Strong Minded podcast. I'm Petia Kolibova, a mind, body, and soul transformation guide, meditation teacher, fitness and wellness expert, self-love junkie, and lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, I will be offering an interview or idea that will support you to build a strong mindset and confidence to leave behind your past suffering, enjoy the present moment, and create the life you deserve. I will take you on a journey of self-discovery by elevating your energy and connecting with your soul while offering simple steps and tools you can use right now to create a healthy and empowered life you love. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me for another episode of my Be Strong Minded podcast. Today, I have a special guest that I met a few months ago on a Bliss project in California. Marsha Van Berske, and I'm sure that I messed it up. I will just excuse my accent. She's an outdoor speaker and life coach. Marsha is a six-time best-selling author of When She Stopped Asking Why. She was recently interviewed on Local News 2. As well, she's a keynote speaker for a school board. She shares her lessons as a parent who dealt with teen substance abuse far past the level of normal experimentation. Through her programs, she's coaching and hosting live events for women. She's on mission to teach others how to find their personal power by owning their story, being vulnerable, and creating boundaries in their lives. She continues to create a platform by sharing her story to impact the lives of others.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for your patience with my accent. I'm like,
I love your accent.
I was practicing your last name, and then I think it broke my tongue like three times.
Okay, so here's the tip. It's Van Winesburg.
Oh, there is a wine in between. That's why I like you so much.
Yeah, of course.
That's why we clicked right away. There is a wine in the middle, of course.
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You know, when we met a few months ago in California, and then we connected again because we clicked there, and I really loved your energy. You were so, and I told you even today, you're so vibrant and radiant, and you have so much positivity around you that all the women around the table were trying to be around you. So I'm like, let me sneak in there too. And then when we talk, you know, I think it was like a week or 2 weeks after when we connected, and you told me about your life story. I'm like, wow, I'm not a parent yet, but the way you shared your story really touched my heart. And also, I do feel like it a little bit shifted my perspective, you know. So can you please share a little bit of your story?
Absolutely. And if there's anything I love is that if I can encourage people or help them shift to think a little bit differently. That's really what I want to do. And so my story is, in a nutshell, I mean, I've spent 25 years working in the healthcare field as a trainer, kinesiologist, really ultimately with the goals of helping to people to change their life. And physically, emotionally, on all levels. And that's basically what I did. Health was the center point of my whole life. And then out of nowhere, we started to find drugs in our home. And when they first started, I thought, well, this is ridiculous. This is not going to happen. And, you know, we shut it down. But in a nutshell, the only thing way I can describe it is that drugs entered our lives and they never left. It's the only way I can describe it. It was never a phase. It never came and went. It just became a monster that grew with a life all on its own. And eventually it got to the point that it impacted all areas of our lives, our kids' lives, our families, jobs, home, finances. It just really impacted everything. And in the whole time of this struggle, that here I was working, putting on a fake face every day. How are things? Fine. And anytime people would ask me anything specifically, I would just shift it to something else because I became a master of avoiding questions and faked it. and basically faked every single smile that I had and lived that way until I couldn't physically do it anymore. That's basically what happened is my body said, no, we're done. This is done. We're done. This is not happening anymore. And I did this. I mean, we've been on this journey for a number of years and to a point where neither of our boys live at home now. We have definitely worked in building relationships again. But in that period of time, you know, it wasn't until we almost lost both of them in a span of a couple of days apart that I realized that I really didn't have any control. You know, as parents and as moms, we spend a lot of time trying to fix everything around us, juggle it, manage, micromanage, control it, whichever way you want to call it. We all do it in all ways, some way, shape, or form. And sometimes it's because we have this master plan of what our life is going to look like, how it's going to flow. And you think you have it all figured out. And you know what? It's just, we just don't have even a fraction of the control that we think that we do. And so when I hit that wall and realized that I just couldn't even physically get up anymore and thinking, I wish I had a choice in how this was. And I swear I heard a voice say, but you do have one. Like you do have one. And it was honestly, it took years to get there. And it was a split second at the same time to realize that now I do have a choice in how I live my life. Mm-hmm. And that has become the cornerstone of what I coach, speak, and teach others. And in a nutshell, is really the same lessons that my boys have to go through anyways.
So both of your boys were using drugs. Do Yes. you know how did it start? Did you ever get to the core? Like, was there that why? Why did they start it?
I think it was just trying it and liking it. I think it was really, you know what? Lots of kids do. I think that this is the thing. Lots of kids do try. And why is it that some will try and never, like they shot once and they don't care and never go back to it again? And why do some try it and they go through periods of time? And why do some try it and get to the point where they leave home, don't come home for weeks on end, don't go to school, basically withdraw from life completely? I don't really know the reason why. It's kind of hard to... all I know is that I had to create a mantra for myself that I didn't start this. I didn't create this. Like I didn't bring this into my home. This was, you know, it was a mantra I had to do because for the longest time, I mean, I was looking for blame because that's really the first thing we do when anything goes wrong is we look for whose fault is it. Yes. And who created this and who started this? Because we need someone to blame. That's a human nature. Yes. That we need that.
Yes. So mm-hmm. What I hear is that you just have to work through this. You had to set the guilt and the blame aside. Mm-hmm. The guilt of not maybe being the best mom that you thought that you would. So in those tough times, you know, when you find out this and when your family was falling apart because of this, how did you work through that? How did you stay connected, you know, with your family inside and then with the external world?
It was, you know, it was such a roller coaster that I think it was so many levels on top of each other. I don't think it was one thing. I think it was a bunch of levels on top of each other. And there was one point in time where I did leave home for a while, being very transparent. And it wasn't a case of, you know, I just simply chose me. I had to choose me because there's just no universe that I would have ever agreed to live in what I was living in. It was insane what we were going through. And at the same time, being so incredibly alone because there was this thing of just avoiding everyone else around us because everywhere we went, I mean, judgment was huge, right? Judgment was huge. I mean, I see it even to as recent as this last week where, and I get people who, because from the outside in, they look at it and think, why didn't you do something? And I've been asked that many times, why didn't you do something? And it's like, you know, I do laugh. I'm not trying to be, flippant about it, but I do laugh in the sense because I'm like, anybody who knows me knows that I literally tried every single thing I could possibly try. And so at the end of the day, I say we as a society, we can't be as concerned are worried about the judgment of others, because I promise you, we judge ourselves way more than what anyone else ever could. Like, and that's really one of my underlying messages, is that we judge ourselves. So when I had that realization, I'm like, screw what anyone else is thinking, because I mean, I'm like, it's just me is who I have to worry about.
Exactly.
And I learned to build that up again and let go of the judgment piece. And so even just this past week, when I ran into this situation, a part of me smiled and to myself, and I thought, you're the reason that I wrote a book on judgment.
I love that.
And it's perspective, right? And this is what I'm trying, it's the perspective, because 2 years ago that would have crushed me.
Yes.
And now I looked at it and went, oh, there's that judgment piece again. It still exists. Of course it exists, because we're humans. It's what we do. I'm not angry. It's somebody who doesn't have all the information. It's somebody who doesn't want to ask for more of the information. It's somebody I actually don't even want to have a conversation with. So it's all okay. Like, I don't need to be attached to it. So it's an interesting change in perspective.
You are using so many like amazing words, and I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm getting here like hot and excited, you know, because yes, I hear that you have the awareness first, you know, like you know yourself, you know your surroundings, and you know deep inside that what really matters, it's you. You are the one who you have to wake up every single day for the rest of your life. And it's not about, and I think, and I feel this way, especially with women, because like you said, we are trying to control everything. We are trying to be good mom, good lover, good wife, good at our work. We are putting so many masks, and we just put one down and we put another one. And then we put ourselves so way back that, like you said, physically our body starts to scream and misbehave. And like, now I will put you down because you don't listen.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you realize that what really matters, it's you. It's everything coming from you and within you, because the people, they will come and go. And this is not being selfish. This is realizing that once you take care of yourself, how do you feel like when you have to step out and step back to work on yourself, to heal yourself, then you're like, okay. Now I have the energy, now I have the love, now I have the acceptance, we can talk now. Mm-hmm. And the people who don't get you, they really don't matter. There are billions of people.
Oh, if that has been such a valuable lesson, and the fact that, I mean, most of the most, like the most impactful people I have in my life today, I didn't even really know before this happened. So, you know, I had to reinvent everything, which allowed me, I had to be open to do that. I have walked into rooms and met brand new people from across the world. And I know, and to me, it's one of my favorite things in the world, is getting to meet new people, because there are 7 billion people on the planet. And I am not going to let the opinion of one person who I wouldn't invite into my house to have dinner with matter. It just doesn't matter. I don't put my energy in that space. And I mean, at the end of the day, living this way and really truly living this way and breathing this way is what my kids have to do. Like, it's exactly what they have had to do, and what they continue to do, is that they have to, you know what, own their own choices. They have to, you know, create their own story and not worry about what anyone else says, and, you know, find their way. And that's part of, I mean, I didn't choose it to model to them. It was a survival, but then I became just realize, okay, this allowed me to survive one more day and one more day and one more day until I got stronger. And then I was like, okay, wait, this is actually the way I want to live. Like, this isn't even just survival anymore. This is it. I'm not doing it another way. So
it's amazing, because a couple weeks ago I was interviewing my dear friend that I also met on a networking event on the mastermind, Jenny, and she had a cancer. And when we were talking about when she was in it, and she had a little baby boy, and they gave her 6 months to live. And the doctor, he was like, she was sharing her story, and she was like, he was such a hope taker. Like, he told me, like, there's no chance, like, you have 6 months and that's it, you know? And she said that similar like you. You just live from the moment to moment, from day to day. And it's incredible to really watching it, because when I look back like 6 years ago, when I was battling eating disorder, when I hated my life, hated myself, I was in so much pain. I didn't want to even wake up. I just told myself, I just need to get through this day. And yeah. I focus on that one day. And I feel like when it feels so overwhelming when you're trying to plan and figure it out like 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead, even like if you think about it, like 1 month ahead. I'm a planner. Like I like
to have sure.
my schedule. But then you go back to this present moment. Mm-hmm. One very, very wise person told me and keeps reminding me almost every single day that this moment is everything. Mm-hmm. And whatever I'm doing, I always tell myself, this moment is everything. Mm-hmm. And when you live this way, everything shifts. Because
it does.
That's amazing.
It does. I would say that is probably one of my most valuable lessons. We hear that all the time from people, that this, like living in the present moment. But I don't think that you can actually really embrace that until life forces you to. Unfortunately, I do think it takes a very difficult situation to make you realize that, I don't actually have control, because none of us do. Like, we actually don't. The only thing we have control over is my choices, my actions, my reactions, it's all me. It's all me. Everything is me. That's what I can control. And when you're in those really dark moments, sometimes it really just literally becomes, what is my next right decision that I can make? Like, what is the next decision that's going to take me closer or in the direction or in alignment with what I want? Like, just what's the next one? Not what's 10 down, 20 down, you know, it's just what's the next right one.
Yeah.
And it is survival, but it's so powerful when you can really learn how to harness that feeling, because your joy is in your present moment. Scare everyone. It's in your present moment. It's not in the future. And you can reflect on the past, but your joy is in the present. And that's like learning how to live right now. And that's no attachments, no expectations, just right now. I know it sounds so monk.
No, you're absolutely right.
But it really is. And I mean, I live and breathe that way. And I mean, even now, and I get some people and they'll tell me stories of somebody who hurt them 10 years ago, and they're so angry and they're so intense when they're talking. And I'll look at it and say, how long have you carried that for? Like, just curious, how long? 10 years. I'm like, wow, why don't you set that down and realize how heavy that is?
Yeah.
Because you're not hurting the other person, right? You're not. And I mean, I will say, all transparency, I mean, I was very angry at my kids for a long time because I felt like they broke up our family. And you know what? I had to go through that phase to realize that that was kind of ridiculous. But that's how my brain worked at it, is I had to let go of all that anger and all of that frustration, because it didn't really matter. It didn't change our story. The only thing that could change our story was how I chose to live my life. That was it. There was nothing else.
So did you have any like specific tools or things that help you get through that?
Yes. I mean, a ton of them. But at the same time, you know, some really simple things. And, you know, years ago, I took a workshop on values. And I think values are they're over-explained, and a lot of people don't understand them. And when I say values, I mean like the things that you would go, they become your yes and no. Like, what are you about? What do you stand for? What is okay for you? And they're not the values that you write on a board and you just say you follow, but you actually don't follow. I'm talking about the ones that you live and breathe, that you're in real integrity with you, right? And I even talk with a lot of my coaching clients when they say, no, integrity is my top value. I'm like, okay, great. If integrity is your top value, when was the last time you were not in integrity with yourself? And you could see their faces just go like half an hour ago. I'm like, right. So you can't hold that as your top value if you don't follow through with that on yourself, right? You have to. So values are everything. And when those values are in place, then it becomes boundaries. And boundaries are they're just gold. They're absolute gold. And for many people, I love that boundaries is the topic that stirs and triggers most people, because it triggers them because most people aren't living by them. They don't have them in their life. They're not using them, and they see it as selfish. They see it as all these things. And honestly, they're just, they're everything. So once I really understood about what my boundaries were, and you know what, even to this day, they're still the same. And for me, it was just very simple. If I felt threatened, if I felt fear, or if I felt, you know, scared in any way, shape, or form, I left, they left, or police came. Just, that was just black and white. They just got to that point. And so, but even to this day, if one of them, I'm with me, if they're with me, and you can just hear the, you know, some of the language drops or something like that, and they're like, sorry, mom, don't mean that. Like, you just, they're very respectful because they know that that's like, those are non-negotiable for me. They're not, it doesn't mean you can't have a bad day. It doesn't mean you can't have, don't, and it doesn't mean you can't have a bad day. It can't, doesn't mean you have to have this fake. It means that we respect each other's boundaries and what they are, and we should all have some. So I think when you do those things and you learn how to release that judgment or not hold on to that judgment, forgive yourself for anything that you have, that you believe you have done wrong, own your choices, right? Truly own them. And then allow yourself to be authentically you, like just allow it, surrender it. All of those tools and lessons made all the difference. And that's really when I wrote my book, what came out was the fact that when you go through these steps, regardless of what your story is, we all have to go through these stages at some point in our life. And that's how we move forward.
That's absolutely beautiful. I love it. And I'm smiling because that's something that I learned with my coach Silo a few months ago. The first thing that he wanted me to do is really write down what are my values, beliefs that are non-negotiable. And like you said, first I just wrote it down. You know, this is what I believe in.
Yeah.
And then I was like, there were days I'm like, this isn't aligned with my values, but how do I establish the boundaries? It was something so new for me because I'm like recovering people pleaser, you know, that I'm,
I'm like, that never works.
Yeah. You can like me, please, you know? And now I am like, no. And that's why I really love, Marsha, that you are talking about boundaries and owning your story and being unapologetically you. And who doesn't align with that? It's like, bye. Why would you waste your time? Why would you waste your energy? Life is too short. And there is so much abundance of people that align with you as far as clients, as far as friends, as far as people to be surrounded with that, like, settling. It's the worst thing you can do because you then never know. What if? I can't live in that. So when I started setting my boundaries, I started to see how everything started to shape. My clients start to change, like to loyal and generous, you know, and everything started to shape. I'm like, wow.
It's huge.
It took me that long.
Well, it can. Most people, it takes, it's, wow. It's sometimes it's a lesson we need to have hit in the head many, many times. But boundaries change the game. And I think the other thing that happens is that it feeds you to realize that, oh, you are, it, to me, it's a real clear sign of self-respect. And when you do that and you're like, you're self-respecting, you like, you go back to the quote, right? We always teach people how to treat us. Always. We are teaching by what we allow.
Yes.
In anyone, in any way, shape, or form, we are always teaching people what we are okay with and how we want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And so when we respect those boundaries, we keep feeding back and we keep understanding, oh, that's self-respect. And oh, yes, I do matter. And because you now your actions are feeding back and saying, no, I do matter. And it becomes, it's just so valuable. It's so valuable. And it's something that I love teaching. And I, to be completely honest, I love it when it triggers somebody because it just shows me, I'm like, oh, you have none. You have none. Like, you're not living with any. That's why you're so upset by it. And so it's, I mean, what would change in your life? What would change in anyone's life if they could implement one boundary, like just one? Like, yep. What would change?
This is what goals. I stand for. This is what I'm not going to settle on. And then you will start how it feels like people are bouncing out of it. It's like fun to watch it, you know?
It is fun.
Like you said, it's really just sitting down and writing it down for me was everything. Because I have to write down, like, you know, 20 of them, then dilute it to 10, then 3. Like, what are your top 3 or 4 values that's just like you can't live without it. I'm like,
right.
Wow, I didn't even know that's that important for me.
Oh, they're gold. And I would even go as far as saying that when you've really broken down your values, so like your top 6, 7 tops, then every time you're stuck in life to think you have to make a decision. And every time I think, I don't know what I want to do with that one. And my husband's great. And he's like, yes, you do. Like, yes, you do. And I went, oh, you're right, I do. Like, I go back to my values. I'm like, ooh, doesn't fit in those. That, no wonder I'm struggling making a decision because I don't want to, because it's not in line. And if it's not in line with those values, then why am I going to spend a tremendous amount of time trying to force something to happen because it's not in line? It's just not, it's a dead door. I don't need, and I don't have to open every door, right? I don't have to have them all open. I just have to have my doors open.
Yes.
That's all. I don't need all of them. I just need my doors open.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let me ask you. I love finishing the interview with a question of stranger approaching you, and I promise it's completely safe situation.
It's all good.
Strangers approaching you.
It's all good.
Let's say that stranger approaches you and asks you, how do you find your personal power within? Mm-hmm. What would you say?
I would say that the minute that you start to own all of your choices that have gotten you to this point in life, you will realize that you can create anything that you want. So when you own your choices, you really own your life. And I just really think that it's that simple. Yes, some people are really given a massive pile of struggle. They really are. But I have met a number of those people, and to me, they are sometimes the most optimistic, positive people who look at it and they go, okay, I can't control this, but I can choose how I react. I can choose how I respond. I can choose what I can do with it. And they own their choices. So if people who are in the most difficult stages of their life can do that, there's no reason the rest of us can't. There's just no reason that the rest of us can't. So if we can really just own, if you can own where you are today and either accept it, like it or not like it, then make decisions to take you in that direction or a different direction. You'll realize how much power you have and how much personal power you have, and you'll be able to take it back. And understanding that when you take that power back, you really might not change the situation at all, because when I took my power back, it didn't change anything in the situation. It just changed how I handled what we had. That changed everything.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like, you by taking the responsibility and owning your choices, you might not be able to change the external, but you can change how you feel and how that situation on the outside is going to influence you. And I love that, you know, as a meditation teacher, I know that people let themselves trigger by so many things on the outside they have no control over.
No.
And they let it control their life, and mm-hmm. it's so sad to witness it. And then, like you said, once you realize that the power really lies within you, and it's just by acknowledging it, having that awareness that you started to have that in that moment, you can take your own life in your own hands. And even if it doesn't change just what's going on the outside, mm-hmm. it will change the way you feel inside.
Every single part of it. And I think I just love how you said that. And I think that most people are searching for freedom, and they believe that freedom comes if we keep things in a tight, controlled situation. And I'm telling you, it's the exact opposite. It's just micromanaging life does not lead to freedom. It leads to one massive pile of stress. And so instead, if we realize that real freedom comes from surrendering everything we can't control and owning the crap out of our own stuff, really is where you shift it. So
it's like, I really love you, and I love your mind and your heart. And I mean it, because it's like, you're talking and I'm just smiling here. I was like, yes,
you're smiling. Yes. It's awesome.
because that's what I've been working for last few months. Mm-hmm. And my friends and clients are already making fun of me because my key word, it's surrender.
Yeah.
Like I even got like the essential oils of surrender, and it's like, it's everywhere. Like even when we were in the Bliss and Monique, she started to sing and she was like, this is my favorite song. I just created and it's about surrender. I was like, damn it again. I know.
It's so everywhere.
Why I'm mentioning it, because me being and struggling 18 years with eating disorder and toward like body image was because I was trying to be in control. Mm-hmm. And then it's with everything in life. We think we know better. And it's crazy to think that you, like a human being, mm-hmm. with this little head, you can know more than the life or the universe or the source, whatever you want to call it. Like
right.
You only one, and I know how powerful we are, but how dare we think we can control it all? Like, you know, that we know it all, we know better, and this is how I plan it, this is the best for me, and that's it. And when I learn to surrender mm-hmm. and to let go, it doesn't mean that I don't plan anymore or that I don't care anymore. I just know that I'm focusing on what feels right for yes. now,
yes.
this moment, and then I know that the right things, the right people that will work out for my highest good will come into my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they will. They always do. They always, always do. And the more you believe that and the more you live that, honestly, you are just open and allowing and receiving that you're going to get incredible people that keep crossing your path. It's just, I've said it. I have seen it. I have experienced it. And I am grateful for every single one of the steps. I am grateful for all of it. And that's part of what you have to do. You've just got to accept and own and be grateful for the things that you are learning on the journey and the people that you're meeting. So it's been interesting. It's been very interesting journey.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, what a journey. But what I also learned in the last few months, it's always ask myself, and I heard this from a very wise person too, it's what is the gift? Mm-hmm. What's the gift in it? Because so many people live in that victim state, like this is happening to me and look at this, you don't understand, you don't know how I feel. And yeah, you might be right. We can never go and be in the body, mind, or heart of other person. However, if you think that things are happening to you instead of for you, you will always be looking for the things that will be hurting you, and you will think that the things are coming at you instead of like, okay, this person like hurt me, what did it trigger in me, what can I learn from this, what can I do so it doesn't happen again?
I'm glad you said that, because I didn't touch on that, is the fact that, I mean, the reason I called my book When She Stopped Asking Why was because the why, asking why, was killing me. Like, it was absolutely killing me. Mm-hmm. And if I can say to any of your listeners that when you find yourself asking why, that's a victim question. It is a victim question. It is a question there is no answers for. I mean, what answer could somebody come back and give me to say that this is why your family is completely torn apart? Like there's no answer that would have ever justified anything that was going on. And so in the moment, one little trick that I used to learn is, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times an hour I would ask why. And it was a case that the why doesn't matter. Like what matters? What is the next step? What? So I would change all of my why questions to what? And that's, yeah. So what are you going to do? And I literally would talk to myself. And even now, I just want people to know, it doesn't mean I don't have bad days. It doesn't mean that I don't hit walls sometimes, but I don't stay there very long. And whereas I used to live in that space and unpack, live, rent property, like lived in that space. Now it's like, I kind of passed through. It's like I passed through and I'm like, oh, Marcia, there it is again. So you asked why does it matter? The what is everything. And that was why I went with that name of the book, was because the why is a victim question. You want one of the fastest ways to change your life? Stop asking why.
Yeah,
stop asking why. Yeah. The why just doesn't matter. It's a completely useless question. And if it's a useless question, it's a massive waste of energy. And I don't know about you, but that is the one gold resource that we all have. And I choose not to waste it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. I love that. And thank you for mentioning your book, because I do want to later on include it in the show notes.
Yep.
And so where people can find you if they want to learn more about you?
Thank you for asking. So my book is available on Amazon, and it is called When She Stopped Asking Why. And my website is very simple for a very long last name. It's just www.marshavanw.com. And on there, I do lots of different coaching, group coaching, events, webinars, live events, and working on another book. So it's you know what, it's going to go in a lot of different directions, and I just let it unfold in the way that it's supposed to. And the right people always cross the paths, and the right opportunities are going to be there. I just know it.
I love that. And and I'm thinking about the title now. I think we have something better.
We have something better? Awesome. Yes. Can't wait.
Yes, I'll tell you.
Okay, perfect.
So thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you. This was so valuable. It's amazing how, like you said, the right people come at the perfect timing.
So they do.
So much for making time to share this wisdom with the listeners.
I am so grateful for the opportunity to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for spending your time with me on the Be Strong Minded podcast. I'm happy we could share this time together to create a space for the new exciting life that is on its way. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and I would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes. Leave us honest thoughts and comments. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would be really appreciated if you can help us on a journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, keep shining your light.